Continuing this session, it's my great privilege bringing the world to welcome our mother, Pastor Faith Oyedepo, as she brings the world. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Let somebody shout the loudest, hallelujah. Would you please lift up your right hand to God wherever you may be and say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you today. Again, I am ready for your word. Change my story again. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Shout it loud and believe in it. Amen. As you have declared, may God make it happen for us. Let your amen be the loudest. Please, you may be comfortably seated and put your wonderful hands together for Jesus. I'm sure you can make it bigger. You can make it louder. It's for Jesus. He's worthy. He's faithful. Praise God. Without any doubt, God's word has come powerfully to us again today. I know you have been blessed by the first two words we have received. God has given us word inoculation, session one, session two. For all those powerful words from the Lord, put your hands together for the Lord again. Praise God. And in this session, we are looking at this subject titled, Wisdom is a Personal Asset. Wisdom is a personal asset. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 12. Look at what the Bible says here. This is very important. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt be eyed. I want you to take a close look at that scripture. The word thou appears how many times there? If thou, thou shall be wise for thyself. So you see the word thou appearing how many times there? And this is Shiloh 2024. Four times. The word thou appearing in one verse of scripture. So indeed, wisdom is a personal asset. And what a joy that God has given us this theme for this year, Shiloh. I see everyone under the sound of my voice today, wherever you may be across the globe, including myself, returning from Shiloh 2024 with this personal asset. Amen. If you believe you are one of such, let your amen show it. Amen. Question. What is an asset? No assumption. What's an asset? According to the Cambridge Oxford Dictionary, an asset is a useful or valuable quality, skill, or person. Useful, valuable, quality, skill, or person. And we must understand very clearly that an asset can be tangible, in other words, it can be physical, something you can touch, you can feel. It can be tangible, it can be intangible. An asset can also be human or intellectual in nature. And what we are saying here is that wisdom is an asset. More often than not, when we are asked about what are your assets or document your assets, more often than not, what we document are usually the things that are tangible. Cars, houses, and the list goes on and on. But you discover that the real asset of life goes beyond things that are tangible. And one of these greatest assets in life that defines each one's destiny is the asset of wisdom. We must therefore understand very clearly that wisdom is an asset of assets. In actual fact, it can be defined as an asset of inestimable value. Because wisdom, among other things, increases your value in life. So we can clearly say how valuable a man's life is has a lot to do with the level of his wisdom. As God baptizes us on this mountain of Shiloh 2024 with this valuable asset of life, which is wisdom, I see each one of us returning from Shiloh with our worth in life enhanced. Can I hear your believing amen? Amen. Wisdom is one of the most important assets in life, because no matter what you have in this world, in terms of other kinds of assets, if you lack divine wisdom, you are still poor. Divine wisdom is priceless and cannot be purchased for silver or gold. That's why the scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. It's not just one of the principal, but it says it is the principal thing. It is the foundation upon which all other assets is built. Very clearly, access to divine wisdom is the greatest asset of life. And I see somebody returning with that asset from Shiloh this year. Amen. If you are that one, let your amen show in. Amen. I said, access to divine wisdom is the greatest asset that anyone can have in life. We've had all kinds of testimonies to this effect. God's servant has told us severally how that during the construction of Faith Tabernacle here in Canaan land, they were to bring in a particular equipment to get some job done. And here was the situation. That equipment couldn't be brought in because it was higher and taller than all the doors. I can never forget that incident. By divine privilege, I was here on ground, and I still remember very clearly it was at this arm of the Faith Tabernacle, love arm at that corner. And by divine wisdom, God gave his servant an inspiration, because they had already thought the only thing that could be done was to break the wall so the equipment can come in. And by divine wisdom, he asked them the height of the equipment, the height of the entrance, and then he said to them, wait a minute, what's the height of the tire? And they told him, and he said, simple, deflate the tire, dragging the equipment. When it gets inside, inflate it again, get the job done, and drag out the equipment. Divine wisdom. Say me, divine wisdom. Many people are grounded in life, not because of the wickedness of the devil, but for lack of divine wisdom. That tension in that marriage can easily be deflated by divine wisdom. Husband looks at wife and says, "You are stupid. You are crazy. You are a non-entity." And the wife looks at him and says, "Is it me you are talking to like that? You are a Mr. God." And before you know it, a physical fight ensues. Why? For lack of wisdom. When in actual fact, one of them can simply say, "I am sorry." Full stop. Full stop. And by that wisdom, the devil is chased out of the home. There are homes today that are under tension. Separation today that are going on. Among believers. Why? For lack of wisdom. However, upon this mountain of Shiloh 2024, as God baptizes us afresh, I see every tension in every home deflated. There are some marriages under the sound of my voice today that by the end of this Shiloh 2024, those homes shall be restored. Can I hear you loud and believe in it? Amen. God's servant has also shared with us severally the testimony of one of us when we were still in the north that time in Kaduna. I can never forget that. The lady came to our house. She was somebody very known and close to us. Came all the way from Zaria and told God's servant she was on her way back to her parents' place in the east. "Abba, sister so and so, what happened?" He said the marriage was not working any longer and she was tired. And God's servant asked her, "Do you really want this marriage to be over?" Before, can you actually marry your parents? No. Initially, she was dragging. He said, "Tell me the truth. Do you want the marriage to be over?" Eventually, she said no. He said, "Okay, very simple. Go back to Zaria, wherever you find your husband. Simple. Just fall on his neck and say, 'Oh, I love you and I've missed you.'" Somebody say, "I hear." Don't say, "Ah, me, okay, forever. I can never do that." Okay, go and marry your father. Abby? Thank God for obedience. She went back there. And in a few hours' time, she called from Zaria. Everything settled. The crisis in that marriage shall be settled. The crisis in your job place shall be settled. The crisis in that relationship shall be settled. The crisis in that your life shall be settled. But wisdom is required as a personal asset. Listen, people of God, you can receive counsel from men and women of wisdom. But until you yourself as an individual agrees to put to work that wisdom, it never produces. And that's why having this wisdom and divine wisdom as a personal asset is what brings the benefit. From today, I see every crisis in everyone's life being subdued by the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom, therefore, is a personal asset. And from Shiloh this year, you are returning with that wisdom of God. It will begin to show in your life. As you return to your various locations, with this wisdom of God at work in you, none of us will return to our vomit again. Amen. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. Those ungodly relationships with the wisdom of God at work and as a personal asset, none of us will return to it again. Amen. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. However, it's very important for us to understand that divine wisdom delivers mainly on demand. How does it deliver? It delivers mainly on demand. We've been told this over and again since Shiloh started. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask. Let him ask from God. You lack wisdom, let him ask. So wisdom, divine wisdom, delivers on demand. Not by wishing, not by waiting, not by watching. What is demand? To demand for something simply means to ask for it. Ask for it. Don't just watch and wait or think that divine wisdom will land on anyone's life by luck. It doesn't work that way. It comes by demand. You must have a genuine hunger and thirst for this wisdom. Now, today is already Friday. On the ground of Shiloh 2024, very shortly, Shiloh will be over. Have you ever taken time to ask the Lord sincerely, with hunger, with thirst, demanding for this divine wisdom deposit? He that asketh, receiveth. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Call. Call for divine wisdom. Call for divine inspiration. And I guarantee you by the grace of God upon this mountain, as many as call for it shall receive it afresh. Nobody is saying that you are not wise. Remember, we've been told over and again, wisdom is in degrees. The level of wisdom that you and I are operating at right now needs to change. We must change level. We must change status. And by the grace of God, somebody's level will change even today. Amen. If you are that one, let your amen show it. And the good news is, every child of God, every believer, every Christian, everyone that is redeemed has a seed of divine wisdom given to us at redemption. The Bible tells us very clearly in Matthew 11:19. It says, wisdom is justified of her children. Are you a child of God? Are you born again? Are you sure of that? Then there is a deposit of divine wisdom in you. But it's not enough to have a deposit of it. We were told already upon this mountain, you could have sugar in your tea, but if you don't stir it up, you drink sugarless tea. Not because there's no sugar, but because that deposit was not put to work. Every born again child of God has a deposit of wisdom. But what you do with it is what determines how sweet and how valuable your life will end up being. Remember that Christ, who is the wisdom and the power of God, dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 1:24. He dwells in us. And therefore, we must ensure that we give him room so that the fragrance, the sweetness of divine wisdom that has been given to us will begin to find expression. I pray over somebody's life today that the benefits of divine wisdom will become more evident in your life. Yeah. Say, I receive it. Yeah. Personally, one of the greatest prayer I find myself praying for myself more often than not is a fresh release of the spirit of wisdom. Something happens and a decision needs to be taken. Lord, grant me wisdom. It may be one statement. It may be in two statements. Probably I need to take a decision to do something for myself, for the family, speak to somebody, counsel someone. Lord, grant me wisdom. Sometimes I just muster it under my breath. And before I know it, light comes. You know what to say. You know what to do. Wisdom is principal. Therefore, upon this mountain, I see that wisdom coming upon us afresh. Amen. Can I hear your loudest? Amen. Amen. However, there is a higher dimension of this divine wisdom, which we are going to be looking at very briefly, and that is the spirit of wisdom. There is wisdom, but there is a higher dimension of it, which is the spirit of it. The spirit of wisdom. The Bible talks about the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. The scripture says, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of what? Another Joshua is under the sound of my voice today. That spirit of wisdom will come upon us afresh. Amen. If you are the one, let your amen show it. Amen. Isaiah also tells us in chapter 11 and verse 2, talking about Jesus Christ, he says, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And to everyone that's born again, you have accepted Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. It's your heritage to have the spirit of wisdom. Say, so the spirit of wisdom is my heritage. Say, like you believe it. The loudest you can. Please tell your neighbor for me, the spirit of wisdom is your heritage. Shout aloud, amen. The spirit of wisdom is your heritage because Jesus Christ lives in us. So we must graduate in the school of wisdom. Remember we said earlier that the school of wisdom is a school of lifelong learning. We must graduate from wisdom to the spirit of wisdom. And that's where God is taking somebody to upon this mountain. If you are the one, let your amen show it. And this spirit of wisdom in scriptures can be likened to oil in the lamp. Oil in the lamp. When there is oil in your lamp, it keeps burning bright and bright. When the oil is going down, the light starts getting dim and dim. And when the oil is finished, what happened? The light goes out. Remember the story in the Bible about the 10 virgins. In Matthew chapter 25, 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come. And the Bible tells us 5 that were wise had oil in their lamp, but they took extra oil along. The foolish had oil in their lamps, but they didn't take extra oil along. The bridegroom was delayed, and then suddenly it was night time, and then the bridegroom was coming. Those who didn't take extra oil, their lamps were already out. Your lamp would not go out. Yeah. Can I hear believing? Amen. And then in verse 9, those who were foolish, they met the wise. Give us some oil. What was the answer in verse 9? The wise said, no way. Say it me, no way. Say like you believe it. Go and buy for yourself. If not, if we give you, it won't be enough for either you or us. And all of us will stay in darkness. Your destiny shall never be kept in darkness. The foolish ones ran out to go and buy. But at this time, it was already late. It will not be late for you. I said, it will not be late for you. Upon this mountain of Shiloh 2024, it shall not be late for you. The oil is available. Buy with your thirst. Buy with your hunger. Buy on demand. Buy with your desire. Buy on the altar of prayer. Buy by asking for a fresh endowment. So that by the time you return to your various stations after Shiloh this year, you will have extra oil in your lamp. And that will keep taking you and I on to fulfill destiny in Jesus' name. Can I hear louder? Amen. Very importantly, we must never forget that wisdom is a divine treasure. And the spirit of wisdom demands that we keep stirring it for it to produce and to deliver. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible tells us here. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. Say it me, stir up. Say it again, stir up. The loudest you can, stir up. Stir it up. This spirit demands that we keep stirring it up. The question then is, how do I stir up and keep stirring up this deposit of the spirit of wisdom? Very simple. By taking responsibility. By what? By what? By taking responsibility. This is very important. Someone has said, and I've heard this quoted over and again, responsibility is the price for greatness. The level of your greatness in life is determined by how much you take responsibility. So we must take responsibility to ensure we keep stirring up this deposit of the spirit of wisdom when it comes upon us. And we see all through scriptures how that indeed those who were endowed with this divine wisdom and who to the end made use of it were people who accepted responsibility. Several examples in scriptures. For instance, we've had so many things said to us upon this mountain about Joseph. Joseph was divinely endowed, yes, but he took responsibility to sustain this treasure. And so, he stayed with it to the end. He stayed with it to the end. Such that by the time his siblings met with him, even though they were the ones that sold him to slavery, he still welcomed them. He forgave them. He fed them. God used him to change their story. There is someone under some of us today. God will use you to rewrite the story of your lineage. Maybe no one has ever risen there. By reason of the deposit of the spirit of wisdom, you will be the first. I said you will be the first, but you will not be the last. How about Daniel? We've heard so much about Daniel also. He was endowed, but he kept this wisdom working. How did he do it? Number one, he was walking in the fear of the Lord. How did Daniel do it? To keep it working to the end. Number two, he was praying. We are told 3 times every day. How did Daniel do it? To keep this spirit working to the end. We are told he was committed to continuous learning through books. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, we see the scripture tell us, it said, I, Daniel, understood by books. I understood by books. God's servant has told us over and again how important this is. And he gave us the example how that one time they came to interview him and asked him, what do you do with your time? Without hesitation, he said, I read and I think. How often do you read? Even to read the Bible is a challenge. How often do you read? We are told about a man who ended up as one of America's founding fathers by name Benjamin Franklin. His parents could not even keep him in school to the 10th year. But that did not deter him. He went on ahead reading, and by divine wisdom, he became one of America's foremost founding fathers. There is someone under the sound of my voice today. As you begin to bend down to read books that are relevant, to read books that are godly, and much more, to read the book of books, which is the Bible, your status will change. In your workplace, that promotion that has been denied you, as you return back there with the deposit of the spirit of wisdom, it shall be given to you on the platter of gold. Everything that you have been denied, as you return from Shiloh, it shall be given back to you. Can I hear a louder amen? However, it's very important for us to learn a lesson from the life of Solomon. Solomon was wonderfully endowed by God with wisdom. But his fall came because he refused to take personal responsibility. So the treasure of wisdom in the life of Solomon was turned to trash. That will not be your portion. God's wisdom in our life that we are receiving afresh upon this mountain shall never be turned to trash. Can I hear your loud amen? And how will that happen? Let's learn a lesson from what happened to Solomon. What made Solomon's wisdom turned to trash? Question. What was it? It's all there in scriptures. Number one lesson we can learn, Solomon was only feasting. He was only feasting rather than accepting responsibility for the wisdom of God upon his life. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 to 23, we were told so much about the provision in the house of Solomon. He was only feasting. Somebody says, is it wrong to feast? Of course, no. But there is time for everything under the sun. He was only feasting. So, if we must sustain this spirit of wisdom, we must ensure that we discipline and we control our appetite. Discipline and control your appetite. This is very, very crucial. Food must never be allowed to become Lord over us. It's meant to serve us, not for us to serve it. You shall make it. Number two lesson from Solomon. We are told in scriptures that Solomon was busy acquiring more wives. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. It amazes me. Look at what the scripture says here. Solomon loved many. Say it then, many. Not one, not two, not three, but how many? And what kind of people? Strange women. Strange women. He was busy loving or lusting after strange women. To everyone understand my voice today, beware of strange men. Beware of strange women. They are everywhere. Somebody says, oh, what is the meaning of a strange man or a strange woman? Very important. Anyone that seeks by any means, in any way, to take the place of God in your life and to make you go against the dictates of the scriptures that is clearly stated, is a strange man and a strange woman. Someone tells you, oh, everybody is doing it, it doesn't matter, just take a pen and add 1, 2, 3, 0 to that figure. 10 becomes what? 10,000. Nobody will know it. Run from such a man. That is a strange man. Run from such a woman. That is a strange woman. Every strange man and strange woman around your life and destiny, I decree that their mission will not prosper. That man you are running after is not your husband, and you know it. That woman is not your wife, and you know it. What are you doing there? Check out now so that they don't destroy your destiny. Can I hear a loud amen? You know he's married. He has a wife. He has children. And yet you are meeting secretly in another place. Run. Do what? Do what? Louder, please. What? Even if you came to Shiloh Grad together, don't go back there. Run for your life. Fire on the mountain. Run, run, run. Again, fire on the mountain. Run, run. One more time. On the mountain. I curse the ministry of strange men and women in your life. As we begin to round up, what else do we learn from Solomon's life? He was building shrines with the God-given word. He had thousands of wives and concubines, and he built shrines for each of their gods. Whereas he built only one temple for the living God. What are you using your God-given word for? Caution. Beware of acquiring anything that seeks your worship. Beware. And finally, we are told that Solomon was never reported praying. He was never reported praying after he became wealthy. Before he got the wealth, he prayed. But after he got it and got the wisdom, and got the wealth plus the wisdom, he stopped praying. Remember, the Bible tells us, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to do what? And not to faint. So watch and pray, we are told, so you don't fall into temptation. Grace to remain strong on the altar of prayer, beginning from this Shiloh, as you return back to your various locations, receive it in Jesus' name. And of course, Solomon had no counselor. Ecclesiastes 4:13, Proverbs 9:9, he had no counselor. No wonder his destiny was canceled. Your own destiny shall not be canceled. What's the result of all this? Solomon, the wise at the beginning, ended Solomon the trash. the wreck, the foolish, the downtrodden. That will not be your story. He ended up a wreck, but that shall not be you. Can I hear the loudest amen? 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 9. The Bible tells us that God was angry with Solomon. God was angry with Solomon. May none of us incur the anger of God. The deposit of wisdom and the spirit of wisdom in our lives shall never be turned to trash. Therefore, as you return from Shiloh this year, with this fresh baptism of the spirit of wisdom, let it begin to speak in every area of your life. Let it begin to reflect in the decisions that you make. Let it begin to reflect in the company that you keep. Let it begin to reflect in the words that you speak, in the places that you go. There are some places you used to go before you came for Shiloh this year. By virtue of this wisdom come upon our lives, you will not go back there again. Can I hear louder? Amen. Therefore, we are going to pray one prayer right now for yourself. Lord, grace to accept responsibility for this people.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you. Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.